Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
And a pleasant good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for Freedom's Call today. This is Pat Githens. Well, here it is, the 1st of May, and the drought continues. And I have been saying now for the past 3 or 4 weeks, the rain will be coming. But folks, it's time to get on our knees if you haven't already. And I know many of you in the La Mesa area have gathered out there at the cross and have prayed for rain. But this is a time that we need to really get a hold of God and like Jacob, not turn him loose till we get a blessing. And that blessing being a good soaking rain for this parched West Texas land so that our farmers can plant their seed and get the crops going for this coming year. And so planting time is upon us. We're having strange weather, too, being as cool as it is at times, and then the lack of rain. So let's begin right now and seriously asking God to send us the rain that we need. And let's pray by faith. Let's not pray for rain and then go out and listen to Channel 11 weather or some other weather station and hearing all this talk about high winds, fires, and drought. Let's start talking about the coming rain. There's an abundance of rain coming. Have faith on that. Believe that. Trust God for it. He knows our need, and He's promised to supply our needs. So by faith in your churches today, take a moment or two and pray for rain. Pray for it in your Sunday school classes. Pray for it in the worship services. And then at home, pray for it when you have your meals. Pray for rain. Just keep praying for rain and by faith believing that it is going to be coming, a good soaking rain, and our crops can be planted. Well, I also want to take a moment to say thank you so much for the many compliments that we received on the program last week, the Easter program. Many of you enjoyed hearing Elaine sing those songs again. I certainly did. And those two songs just told the story of Easter, that when He was on the cross, I was on His mind, that He died for us. He died for sinners like me and like you, and for every sinner that would call upon His name for salvation. And then on the morning of the third day, He stepped out of the tomb, alive forevermore. And that wonderful song that she sang, Gone. So thank you for your compliments on that program. I wasn't seeking compliments for myself, but I appreciate the fact that you enjoyed the program. And then on our website, I want to talk to you a moment about that. Our website is simply freedomscallministries.com, and we're getting comments coming in from London, from Indonesia, from India. I'm trying to think of some of the other places that we have had some comments on the program, on the website, the commentary, and the these radio broadcasts. There was 156 comments on there that have come from various places from around the world that people just happened to stumble upon the website and tuned into it and took a look at it. So we and bothered to take time to compliment us on it. And there was only, I think, one or two negatives, but most of them were very positive comments. So the website's beginning to work now and reaching people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, The commentaries are basically aimed at us home folks here in the United States. I really feel like our nation's in dire danger, folks, of survival. I really mean that. And I know that our freedoms are slowly being taken away from us, and more so. And Christianity is becoming becoming more and more under attack in our own nation. Just every day in the news, we hear some stupid thing going on about these atheists and socialists and one thing and another that are trying to remove Christianity and the Christian influence out of the public life of America. And certainly Christianity is under attack around the world. So we need to pray for our country. We need really to seek a spiritual awakening for America, because I believe that's our only hope for survival. I don't have any faith that the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or the Independent Party has the answers to our problems. They're the ones that created these problems. And they certainly have no answers for the problems that's facing us today in America. Well, so we comment on these things on our website. And you may not like the political overtones of that commentary, but that's what it is. It's a commentary. And it's designed to warn people about the loss of our freedoms here in this country, not only political freedom, but also the freedom of worship, the liberties that we've long enjoyed. And the hour is coming, if things continue as they are, that censorship will be coming to radio broadcasts like this one. They're also, the day is coming, and it's not that far away, when churches will be licensed in this country. If it continues as it's going, we need to put the brakes on and have a turnaround. And I don't know, it's got to come from the church house. It's not going to come from the White House. It's not going to come from the House of Congress, nor the courthouse, nor the schoolhouse, but it's got to come from the church house. When God's people humble themselves and begin to pray and to seek his face and confess and repent of their wicked ways, then God will listen and forgive us of our sins and heal our land. Well, let's get into the lesson today. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes that we have remaining about not being ashamed of the gospel. There in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or to the Gentile. In my opinion, the Apostle Paul was the greatest gospel preacher in this church age other than Jesus Christ. Paul achieved much during his adult lifetime as a Christian. Everywhere he went, he preached the gospel of Christ. And having just been saved, he preached it in Damascus and had his life threatened. He preached it in Jerusalem, where he was bitterly opposed by the Jews. He preached it throughout Asia Minor, where he was beaten, stoned, scourged, and jailed. He preached it in Athens, and he preached it in other parts of Europe. And finally, he preached it in Rome, where he knew he would be confronted by the very power of the Roman authorities. But he was not ashamed to put up the gospel of Christ against the sin and superstitions of Rome. Even from a Roman prison cell, he continued to preach the gospel. And he wrote the majority of the books of the New Testament while a prisoner of Rome. No, Paul was not ashamed of Jesus Christ, nor was he ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And yet there were things that Paul was ashamed about in his lifetime. He had persecuted Christians, and he had put them to death. He consented to the death of Stephen. He had persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ and played havoc in it. He had been a man of much pride, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Yes, he was ashamed of these things that he had done before he was saved, but this man that had been one of God's greatest human enemies became God's greatest human preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spent the rest of his life making up what he had done before he was converted. And as a prisoner of Rome facing a certain death, Paul boldly declared, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Well, like Paul, there are things in our lives that we're ashamed of. Many of us lived a dark life before we were saved. Some were worse than others, but the Bible says we were all sinners and fell short of the glory of God. Looking back on those sin-filled days of our lives, we should be ashamed of how we lived in those days. We have often done and said the wrong things. We oppose the will of God in our lives, wanting to live our life our way, not His way. And looking back over the years, how many of us wish we could go back and correct the wrongs that we committed, to make different decisions. And as Christians, many should be ashamed of not being committed to the Lord as much as we should be, for not praying as much as we should, for not studying the Bible as diligently as we should, for not being as involved in the work of the Lord as we should be. Many Christians come to the end of life's journey on this earth, but unlike Paul, they cannot say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Yes, there will be many that will weep in shame and beg God to forgive them for the wasted years that they did not serve Him as they should have. They will seek forgiveness for all of the excuses that they made for not being faithful in serving you. Personally speaking, for a moment, there's many things in my past life that I'm ashamed of, both in my life before I was saved and in my life after I was saved. In my Christian life, there are so many things I should have done that I didn't do, so many things that I did without seeking God's will and what He wanted me to do. And looking back, there has been so much wasted time, time that should have been productive in doing God's work. Yes, I'm ashamed of the many failures that I've had as a Christian and how I must have grieved my precious Savior. But there's one thing, folks, that I can honestly say to the Lord today and to man. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Since being saved and called to be a preacher of the gospel, I have always, to the best of my ability, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly and without fear. Anyone that's ever been saved in Jesus Christ should never be ashamed of Him nor His gospel. We were all stained with sin. We were unclean and unacceptable to God. But Jesus took us just as we were, washed us clean with His shed blood, and set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan. Recently, I heard a message preached by the late Adrian Rogers. And in that message, he stated how absent-minded he was. He said he would be using a felt pen and then put it in his shirt pocket without putting the lid on it. And I've done that a few times myself. And of course, the pen makes a spot on the shirt. And Brother Rogers said, "There's nothing that can get that spot out of that shirt except scissors. It ruins the shirt." And he said that sin spot will not turn loose, or that ink spot would not turn loose. And that's the way a sin spot is in our lives. The sin that we have in our lives, nothing can remove it. But God has a detergent that can take away that sin and make us clean. And that detergent is the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And friends, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that sin stain has been removed from you for all eternity, how can you be ashamed of that? How can you be ashamed of the blessed Savior that went to the cross to die for you? No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, our time has run out. Again, it's been a joy visiting with you. I'll be looking forward to visiting Crestview Baptist Church May the 15th. I'll be preaching there in the morning service, Lord willing, and I hope to see many of my friends there in the Lamesa area at that time. Well, that's all the time that we have for the program today, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank God I am free, free.